From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudet. Here in Idaho, the need for more housing is dire, especially affordable housing. And according to one group, Idaho has a shortage of more than 24,000 affordable rental units. And they say housing insecurity can lead to depression, it can lead to anxiety, even a greater chance of COVID-19. And it's also creating a shortage of doctors and nurses here in the Gem State. So joining us now to talk more is reporter Kelsey Mosley-Morris with the Idaho Capital Sun. Kelsey, always good to have you on the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So Kelsey, last week you wrote about the Idaho Asset Building Network. Can you tell us who they are and what do they do?
So they're an organization that tries to connect decision makers and stakeholders together to advance policy solutions. So they kind of brought together several different groups that have been dealing with the housing issue and called it their day of action to call on Congress and our state leaders to address this problem. And they tried to highlight some of the things that they're seeing out in the community to really drive home the need for policy change on this front.
So the network, according to your reporting, says Idaho needs 24,000 more affordable and available homes for renters with modest incomes. Kelsey, that's a big number. So
yeah,
can we talk a little bit about that?
They actually didn't talk about that a whole lot, but I know we've got a lot of homes under construction, but I'm not convinced that a lot of it is going to be affordable for people who are looking. And so I think when it comes to that, they're trying to get more housing vouchers passed by Congress so that people can, you know, be connected with more housing. And they're trying to look at some of the housing and urban development, home assistance, grants program, and things like that, that would help connect people to homes. And but I'm not sure, you know, when it comes to affordability, the affordability factor, what that's going to look like for people, because a lot of these people are very low income or homeless or with people without housing. So we'll see what that looks like over the next few years.
So I want to talk for a minute about St. Alphonsus, because this, I think we have not talked about this side of things. And this is literally a hospital system telling you that just in 1 year, they had 677 patients ask for help. I mean, from asking the hospital for help with housing.
Yeah. And this comes, you know, in the middle, a lot of that was right in the middle of the pandemic. And so hospitals were dealing with enough at that time where they were trying to discharge people. And it sounds like a lot of times people were living in their cars or they were trying to find a hotel for these people. And they're like, nobody wants to discharge someone to their car from the hospital or to a hotel. Like, it's just not something that providers want to be doing. And so they're spending an inordinate amount of time trying to, you know, find better solutions for people when they're already short-staffed, and hospitals across the state have been talking about a nursing shortage for years, and that only got worse through COVID-19. And they were even saying that an orthopedic surgeon declined a job offer to St. Alphonsus because he couldn't find housing. And that's not somebody who usually is hard up for money. You know, a surgeon makes a pretty good amount of money. And so the fact that that type of job is not even enough in some of these areas is pretty startling.
I think it's very startling, Kelsey, because when you look historically, I mean, even when I first moved here more than 20 years ago, one of the things that the Treasure Valley touted was really the healthcare that we had in an area of this size, right? We have things like orthopedic surgeons. We have pediatric specialists that you usually only see in major metropolitan areas. One of the reasons why was that housing was so affordable. Doctors and nurses could move to Idaho and make a very good living, afford to live here. And yet, as you mentioned right now, but also in your reporting, is that St. Alphonsus is saying they need more nurses and doctors, but they cannot find places that they can afford to live. So this becomes even a bigger issue for anyone who needs healthcare if there aren't enough doctors and nurses that can actually afford to live here.
Right. It's kind of a terrible spiral that we're going through, because people who don't have housing, as you mentioned earlier, it often experience more healthcare issues. They have more depression and anxiety. They have more blood pressure issues, the cardiovascular issues, and spreading of COVID-19 and monkeypox, things that are communicable. And so as you continue to go around with the staffing issues and we have more communicable diseases in the community, it just becomes more of a strain on everyone involved in the healthcare system and less resources to go around.
Mm-hmm. For folks who are just joining us, let me reintroduce our guest. We're talking with reporter Kelsey Mosley Morris. She's with the Idaho Capital Sun, talking about a story that she recently wrote about Idaho's affordable housing crisis and really how many organizations are talking about this being a dire situation. So, Kelsey, in your reporting, you also wrote about people with disabilities, because housing can be such a challenge for them as well. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, in Idaho State Independent Living Council talked about their mission is to help people with disabilities find necessary services and support for their daily lives. And one of those things is trying to find them housing. And that has always been a challenge for people with disabilities, because, you know, you might need special accommodations in a house with a ramp, or things in the shower that you might need. And so that's always been a hard thing. And today it's just 100 times worse. And they were saying that, you know, people would come and join their meetings in the library just because they happened to be there, because they were trying to cool off from in the air conditioning because they live in their cars. And that would maybe happen once or twice a year in the past, but she was saying it's much more frequent now. And those are people with those disabilities who are already struggling. And there's also people with who are people of color, people low-income individuals and family who are facing eviction on a daily basis. And that's, you know, 40 to 50 calls a day is what they're fielding right now. And they're trying to work with the Idaho Housing and Finance Association and Jesse Tree to help people with emergency rental assistance. But oftentimes people don't speak English, or they have, it is somebody with a disability who needs more help with the application process. And so they're struggling to be able to help all those people in time before they get evicted, because an eviction can happen within a week. And they were saying right now it takes up to 60 days, maybe 90 days to find housing. And so those two timing just do not work out for a lot of people.
And I want to go back to that number that you mentioned, because the Intermountain Fair Housing Council, as you said, say that they're getting upwards of 50 calls a day from people about to get evicted. That's a shockingly high number.
Yeah, it's disturbing. And I think I was going to say it's been a topic that I think has kind of gone on the wayside because of the abortion issue and some other things statewide that I think are crowding out the news about it. And as the real estate market kind of cools off, I think people have felt like this issue is kind of solved now and we can just move on. But it very clearly is not. And it's affecting a lot of different areas of the economy.
So, Kelsey, what does the Idaho Asset Building Network want? I mean, are they looking for both state and federal money? Like, what do they want?
Yeah, at the federal level, there's actually a budget that's already been proposed by President Joe Biden, expanding the housing vouchers for an additional 200,000 households, putting about $5 billion in the Public Housing Capital Fund and another $5 billion in the Public Housing Operating Fund. Doing $3.6 billion for the HUD Homeless Assistance Grants Program. I can't say that very well. $100 million for legal assistance to prevent evictions, and then $300 million for the Competitive Tribal Housing Program. And it's kind of in the lurch right now, it sounds like, with Congress, because I think they had to break out a bunch of different budget pieces at the federal level to try to get them passed. And I'm not sure what the status is on this one, but they wanted people to reach out to their representatives and try to get them to support this. I think it's under the Housing and Urban Development budget. So that would be federally. And then they talked about, you know, the fact that we have an almost $2 billion surplus at the state level. we've already passed 50 million last year for workforce housing development. And that was just kind of a separate thing using federal funds to set that up. But we also have the housing trust fund at the state level that's never been funded. That 50 million from last year did not go into that bucket of money. That was, it's been around since 1992 and it's still empty. And so, you know, they're saying we could put some of our surplus into that and have a lot more at our disposal to help build some of these developments. Mm-hmm. So they're hoping for legislative action in this coming session, 2023.
Well, and I think Kelsey, just bringing it once again, as you said, to the forefront, right, is that there is a housing crisis, and it does sometimes get lost in the shuffle when larger news stories come about. But one of the things that stuck with me when I read this article that you wrote was what Zoe Olson, who was the executive director of Intermountain Fair Housing Council, said. And she just said very simply, housing is healthcare.
And so it's,
go ahead.
If we don't have enough providers to provide healthcare and they can't find housing either, like that seems like something we should really be looking at.
Mm-hmm. Well, as always, Kelsey, we really appreciate your reporting on this and bringing this back into the forefront. So
thank you
so much for joining us today.
Thanks. Have a good one.